The Water Values Podcast, Session 94.
Welcome to the Water Values Podcast. This is the podcast dedicated to water utilities, resource, treatment, reuse, and all things water. Now here's your host, Dave McGibson.
Hello and welcome to another session of the Water Values Podcast. As my daughter Sarah said, I'm Dave McGimsey, and thanks so much for joining me. We have a great show for you today. Before we get to that, I just want to say thank you to all you listeners for just what has been a tremendous beginning to 2017 in terms of downloads. You guys are, I just can't say enough. It's amazing how much this podcast has grown in the last 3 years, so thank you so much. And we also, if you haven't rated or reviewed the podcast, please do that. It really helps people find the podcast. As we just had our very first rating and review on Stitcher. So we've got 41 ratings and reviews, or 41 ratings on iTunes. And a bunch of those ratings have come with reviews, which by and large have been pretty good. So thank you so much for that. But Emily H. left our first rating and review on Stitcher. And I just want to say thanks so much, Emily. Here's what she said. She said, "I anxiously await every new episode of this podcast to drop. I think it's so important and so fascinating. Probably my favorite thing is that it manages to be interesting to those with existing water knowledge, yet digestible to someone with none. Can't say enough about it." So, Emily, thanks so much for that terrific review you left on Stitcher. And again, if you haven't rated or reviewed the podcast, please consider doing so on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, whatever podcast directory you're listening on. Again, thanks so much. On to today's show. So we've got John Williams, the chairman and CEO of Impact Infrastructure, and he is going to talk a lot about choosing the best possible infrastructure project, using a framework that looks at the triple bottom line, kind of a sustainable return on investment. So the triple bottom line, of course, is from a financial, social, and environmental perspective. So making sure you're getting the right infrastructure project to meet not just your financial goals, but also the social and environmental goals you're trying to achieve. And it's a fantastic interview. He's very knowledgeable, and I think you will be very pleased with what he has to say. So with that said, let's get on with it. Open the valves, fasten your seatbelts, and here we go. Well, John, thanks so much for coming on to the Water Values Podcast. Really appreciate your time today. For starters, John, could you tell us a little about your background and how you got interested in water?
Sure, Dave. And first of all, thanks for including me on the podcast today. I'm really excited about it. In terms of my background, I spent 37 years in the infrastructure and buildings delivery industry, starting out as a community liaison or community outreach person for very large transportation projects in and around New York City. Eventually, over the years, I took on more of a business leadership role in the firms that I was part of, including in consulting engineering practices that involved water and waste programs, and specifically P3 development as a program manager for owners who wish to use P3s to create new infrastructure projects. In terms of water specifically, I was asked to guide a series of public utilities through exercises aimed at doing more with less. This was back in the mid-90s when there was a lot of pushback, especially toward publicly owned and operated water and wastewater systems. And they had significant incentives to find a way to stretch ratepayer dollars further. So I ran a specialty consulting practice while I was at HDR aimed at helping public agencies perform at a higher level. And it was a very successful practice that included work for MWRA, CMUD, New Orleans Water and Sewer, Miami-Dade Water and Sewer, San Diego Water and Sewer, Kansas City, Phoenix, and King County. And having been exposed to all those water folks, I learned to have even a higher appreciation for the kind of work that they do in order to deliver clean, safe, reliable drinking water on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, and so you mentioned the green infrastructure component. Can you kind of give us you know, what do you see as being the drivers out there that are pushing utilities to consider green infrastructure?
Well, I'm going to take you back to the mid 2000s, like around 2005, 2006, and 2007. I was senior vice president and national director of sustainable development for HDR, and I worked with a lot of utilities who are starting to explore gray infrastructure as compared to green infrastructure. And it occurred to me that at some point, investments in things that we call green infrastructure were going to require some explaining. And a lot of these communities I work with were making claims that they would be the greenest in the nation. And I thought, well, that makes sense. That sounds good to me, but how do you know that green is best for your community, especially when you're spending taxpayer or ratepayer dollars? And so I set out to find a way to actually measure green in dollars and cents when it comes to infrastructure and building projects, particularly water projects. And I work with a large team of economists as well as several groups of researchers. I've been on faculty at Columbia University for a long time. And we actually created a means of actually measuring green in infrastructure projects that we called SROI, or Sustainable Return on Investment Framework. And elements now since 2007 have been applied to evaluate about $50 billion in real life projects. And those spec capacity to run objective, credible, transparent economic analysis comparing pipes and tunnels and tanks and treatment facilities with rain gardens and swells and cisterns and impervious pavement, it really made a huge difference for me in my career, and I think it made a big difference for the clients that I was serving, because they wanted to do the right project for the right reasons at the right time. But sometimes it was difficult to figure out what was right without objective reasoning. And by bringing hard, very serious economic assessment tools to their aid, they were able to say objectively that this project is actually superior to that project because it will deliver greater financial returns on investment, greater social returns on investment, greater environmental returns on investment in exchange for the capital that was being invested in them. At the same time, this is a little bit of a squirrely story, but I think you'll see why it's important. We were having great success with this SROI process, but there was a problem with it, and that was it was very expensive and time-consuming because it required a lot of research and analysis, and it was okay for us because we were being paid $50,000 to $250,000 per run to assess a project, but that meant that only the largest projects could be subjected to careful economic analysis, and that started to bother me a bit because I felt, why should only billion-dollar projects be looked at closely from an economic point of view? And then here comes February of 2010. I was diagnosed with a very aggressive form of cancer, and fortunately, with surgery and chemotherapy and radiation therapy, I'm cured. That was 6 years ago. My doctors all tell me that I'm cured. We caught it early. That made the difference. But having gone